Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Willard and Dibbs. No Willard today, though. It's Jason Dumas and Mark Randy alongside Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game. We'll get to your calls coming up in a sec, but we do have breaking Warriors news.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
This comes courtesy of Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Free agent forward Kyle Anderson is planning to sign a 3-year, $27 million deal with the Golden State Warriors. He'll land with the Warriors on a sign-and-trade with Minnesota. So the return to Minnesota, we don't know just yet. However, I would suspect the Warriors are using the trade exception they created with the Klay Thompson sign-and-trade from yesterday, in which they just dumped salary and got nothing but second round picks in return. I would imagine that is how the Warriors are fitting this into their salary cap. But free agent forward Kyle Anderson, 3 years, $27 million to join the Golden State Warriors, guys.
Well, I mean, it's a piece. It's not necessarily the kind of piece that we all were thinking that they would go out and land. He's not Lauri Markkanen. And you look at last year when he shot 23% from three.
A three-point shooter, that's for sure.
No, but I mean, he shot
like 41% a couple of years ago. My only thing is this, just initial reaction is he does a lot of the things Draymond does offensively. Obviously, Draymond clears him miles on the defensive end, but offensively, they're like the point forwards, kind of can get people involved. They do a lot of the same things. It almost feels like it's just too similar of games, like almost like they can't play on the same floor together.
I mean, yeah, if he's shooting that poorly from deep, it's going to be hard. It's kind of the issue you run into at times this past season when you had Draymond and Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis on the floor together. Three non-shooters, and that was even if the other two were Steph and Klay, and they still ran into some issues. So,
and apparently not a
floor spacer.
The compensation, sorry, Grandy, according to Woj, is a future second-round pick swap and cash in the sign-and-trade. So no mention of that trade exception that you would figure would have been a part of it. So they bring him in, and they could still fit him in underneath their first apron that they're now hard-capped at, because they don't have that much salary when you look at what they have on the books. I think they have about $145 going into that spot, and now you add his roughly $9 million a year, so they're still going to be below that first level.
Yeah, and the trade exception, I was even confused by this yesterday, and I think I ended up saying the wrong thing. You know, this trade exception isn't something that goes back to Minnesota in a deal. It's something that is created. Like, for example, yesterday, the Warriors signed and traded Klay Thompson to the Mavericks. The Warriors took back no money, so the Warriors create a trade exception of the amount of money they sent out and did not get in return. Now you then create that trade exception and you have that amount of money to use in future trades. And because this is technically a sign and trade, the Warriors are able to sign Kyle Anderson because it is a sign and trade, and they do it with their trade exception, because while they are under the first apron, they are still in salary cap. So you can't just go out and sign someone straight up. So they got to do a little bit of financial gymnastics to make it all work. And I would imagine now, because Minnesota isn't taking any salary back, they right. created their own trade exception if they want to use it in the future. But you can understand why Minnesota's doing this, guys, because Minnesota is going into some salary cap hell as well. Anthony Edwards is going to be making a ton of money coming up shortly. And Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, has one of the worst contracts in basketball. So they're going to be in a situation where maybe they have to make some tough decisions. Warriors potentially benefit from that. Kyle Anderson is not too flashy. We know him as slow-mo. You guys have talked about that. But he's also been on pretty good teams wherever he's gone. Wherever he's gone, the teams have been pretty decent. He's contributed to winning, and he's the kind of player who's going to give you solid defense. He's going to help rebound the ball. He's going to be smart with the ball in his hands. He's not going to wow you offensively, but he's going to make smart winning plays. And again, everywhere he's been on a pretty good basketball team. So I think it's a positive move for the Warriors. And for $9 million a season, not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, for $9 million a year, I'm surprised he got a three-year deal. Don't let Clay see that. But I don't know. I got it. Initial reaction, offensively, does not seem like a guy you can pair with Draymond Green. It's like you get too much of the same thing from both of them. Like, Kyle Anderson is, like, good with the ball in his hands. He's a playmaker. He's, like, a point forward. Draymond Green is the same way. They duplicate each other too much. So, I just wonder. I don't know. I wonder, you know. I don't love it right now.
Do you have a little bit more news? This comes from Anthony Slater, who confirms it is a three-year, $27 million for slow-mo, Kyle Anderson. But the third year of the deal is non-guaranteed.
Okay.
So think of it as what just happened with Chris Paul. Non-guaranteed.
Right. Take back what I just said.
The Warriors at a certain point.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
Two years from now, they can just waive Kyle Anderson and owe him nothing if they really want to.
Right. This trade for me is a big shrug mixed in with a yawn, because it's not a player who's going to help you to get any better. He's a guy. He's a guy who you can play. Yeah, he's a veteran. And like Jason was saying, he's somebody who can distribute. He can rebound a little bit. He can defend a little bit. But you're still trying to replace Klay Thompson's shooting. And we can all talk about Klank Thompson and how he was not as good as he used to be. But you're bringing in a guy who is not a shooter. So now if you look at what you've added to this team, you've got Melton, who can shoot a little bit. He's not Klay Thompson.
Yep.
Now you got Anderson, who's going to come in and take minutes, and he can't shoot. So what are we doing in an era where you're a three-point shooting team? How are we trying to make our team better? And, you know, you bring in a guy who's going to make $9 million a year. And to me, he's a little bit like GP2 in that he's not really an offensive player. And he's a guy who is a nice piece, but he's a nice piece for a team that needs actual needle movers. And that's not who this guy is.
Yeah, Kyle Anderson, 3 years, $27 million to join the Golden State Warriors. It's officially a sign and trade with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Essentially, think of
big
this.
Big body, though, at
yeah,
least.
Yeah, 6'9", 230. Essentially, think of this as the return for the Klay Thompson sign and trade. It's just a wherewithal process and a big circle to go and do it, because you gain the trade exception from the Klay sign and trade. You use it to make this one work. So essentially, the sign and trade for Klay netted the Warriors 2 second round picks and Kyle Anderson. That makes that feel a little bit better.
For one second round pick, because you sent 1 second round pick out to Minnesota as a part
swap,
of this deal.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, you're right. I mean, not
Bitcoin, man. We're talking Bitcoin.
Totally. It's exactly right. Exactly.
Now he wants to split hairs with the Bitcoin.
No. I don't want to try to overhype, you know, the fact that of what they got in return, because these second round picks, they come and they go so quickly, they're meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah. And a second round pick swap, even more meaningless.
Right.
Like, what is that going to mean? I'm picking 57. Instead of 51st. Okay, congratulations. Like, not going to be that big of a deal. I think what is interesting, you guys are talking about, and Jason, I think you bring up a good point. Can you play Kyle Anderson and Draymond on the floor together? And I know Kyle Anderson has played some small ball four, especially recently. 6'9", has played a lot of small forward as well as your three. Does this mean anything for Andrew Wiggins? I mean, we know Andrew Wiggins has been shopped already this offseason. You've got Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga, last season recently, has been your four. Steve Kerr has been very hesitant to give him any minutes at the three. Kyle Anderson maybe slots in as your three off the bench. Does this mean anything for Andrew Wiggins? Anything different than we already know? Do you think this signals even more so that the Warriors are looking to move off of Andrew Wiggins, or is this not involved at all?
I mean, in terms of mouths you have to feed, I guess you can say, yeah, maybe you got to get rid of Wiggins now. But I don't think they play the same position. They can play together. So I don't think this is like taking Wiggins' spot. Like I said, this more to me is just head scratcher because I just don't see the fit with Draymond Green. And we know Draymond Green is, he is in the plans, obviously. So I guess you try to stagger them as much as possible. Kyle Anderson can still play. It's not so much an indictment on Kyle Anderson, the player. It's just the fit next to Draymond Green. That's just, that is what I'm struggling with right now. Just my naked basketball eye. I have not, I'm not like evaluating and studying the numbers and the splits, the shooting splits, but just everything I watched of Kyle Anderson, he's best when he has the ball in his hand and he's doing a little playmaking and he is, you know, kind of running the floor in that slow motion, like playing style he has. And Draymond kind of plays similarly. Better, at a better level,
though. Yeah, of course. So, I mean, maybe he becomes just a backup to Draymond Green, and maybe this becomes, you know, something where Kevon Looney becomes more vulnerable if you play Draymond at the five more, and you have Anderson, a guy who can come in and play the four, and, you know, Kuminga slots in. I do think that it becomes interesting about Andrew Wiggins. And
Draymond, Kyle, and Kuminga on the floor is woof.
No chance. No it's chance. Woof. You have too many non-shooters already.
Trayshack and Davis, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, and that was kind of my point immediately when we saw the trade come down. It's like, how many non-shooters do you want to have on the team? And all the gravity that Steph Curry created in the past, it benefited Klay Thompson, and now Klay is gone. So who's it going to benefit? If, like you said, Jason, if you've got Draymond on the court with either Kevon or Kyle Anderson or Jonathan Kuminga, and even Moses Moody, who's not a knockdown shooter, it feels to me like Steph Curry is going to have a very tough time getting open with these guys on the court with him.
All the more reason then to go out and make something work for Lauri Markkanen, because you're going to need shooting. I think you guys are right, but I do also think that that Kyle Anderson, and you guys are getting at it. I know you're focusing a little bit more on what he doesn't do in terms of shooting the ball well. And you brought up he kind of randomly shot 41% from deep, not this most recent year, but the year prior. That is, for the most part, the outlier. He's a career just under 34% shooter from downtown. That's certainly not his game. And we kind of make fun of him for how slow he moves. I mean, he has the nickname Slow-Mo, for God's sake. He's not going to blow you away offensively, but he makes winning plays. And I think he's the kind of player, to your guys' point, similar to Draymond in the sense that what he does well doesn't always show up in the box score. And he has a bigger positive impact than you see if you're just looking at the numbers. You go in and you break down the tape. If you're a tape bro and you go in and you watch what Kyle Anderson does, I think you see more positive things. Interestingly, this move also just keeps the Warriors under the luxury tax line. The luxury tax line this year is just a tick under $171 million for this coming season. The Warriors, give and take, are around, I guess it depends how this one is officially split up, but if it's seven or $9 million per year, 3 years for $27 million, that puts them right at about $168 by my math, which means they've got a little, right around $3 million of space before the luxury tax line.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of $8 million on top of that before the first apron cuts them off. But if they want to stay out of the tax, they don't really have much wiggle room left. But they've already used their non-taxpayer mid-level. They don't really have the ability to go out and sign many other guys other than veteran minimums. But you know, you're also, it's slim pickings at times as well. Shooting is one of the most important attributes across the entire NBA, and there's a reason why the Warriors, who don't have the ability to go out and sign anybody straight up, it's going to be difficult for you to try to find those skills in some of these other guys, which is why you're going to have to pay a premium on a guy who does that well, and that's a guy like Lauri Markkanen who's out there. So I get everything you're saying. I'll just fire back and say I think a guy like Kyle Anderson is going to fit in very well, come off the bench. Maybe he's on the floor when Draymond isn't, or they share the floor rarely when Draymond is the five and Kyle Anderson is the four. But I think this is a positive piece, and Warrior fans are going to enjoy him being on this team.
I'm going to say that this has to be a part of another move. If not, then I will, and I'll save my fury for down the road when this is not part of another move.
At least
move.
He's been healthy last four seasons, 69, 69, 69, 79 games. How about
right.
that?
Okay, how about that? And 22 minutes a night for a Minnesota team, and he started 10 games, and he played 22
minutes. One of the best teams in the league, Dibs.
But you didn't even need him really to play other than be your seventh or eighth man. So now you're going to go from a really good team to a really mediocre team, and what? You're going to have him play 30 minutes a game? And like Jason was saying, you have him play alongside Draymond. This guy can't shoot. He's not a shooter. And you've got Draymond who doesn't shoot, and Kevon who doesn't shoot. TJD, you don't shoot. How many non-shooters do you want to have on this team? GP2, you don't shoot. So you're adding another non-shooter to the mix of, yeah, you could be a playmaker, but what kind of plays are you going to make when your nickname is Slow-Mo? And you're on a team that is, you know, predicated on ball movement, player movement, and, you know, trying to set open people up for 3-point shots. I just think that this is a move that has to be the move before the move. And the other move had better be to bring in somebody who can actually score the basketball. Because right now on your team, you've got Steph Curry who can score. And who else? D'Anthony Melton? Okay. Good little scorer. And Jonathan Kuminga, if that's your 1-2-3 punch, you're a lottery team. If that's your top three scores, you stink. And I'm sorry.
Kuminga?
Melton, Kuminga, and Curry. If that's your big three in the Western Conference, you're a 12 seed.
You don't believe in a second-year leap for Pajemski, Dibs?
Sure, a second-year leap. But is he going to get you 17 a night? I mean, Pajemski, I think
as
the ceiling...
As a starter, maybe.
The ceiling for Pods, to me, is a guy who can get you 14 or 15. His three-point shot is inconsistent. At times, he can fill it up. But I don't know if he's ready to take that step to be 18 or 19 a night. Is he going to replace Clay scoring?
No. You don't expect that as a second-year guy. But
right.
I think 15 points is not out of the question. And that's,
fine.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. But again, if your core four is Pods, Steph, Melton, and Kuminga, that's not good enough.
I don't disagree with you.
I mean, I think that you
I hope that a bigger move is on the way. I think they need it.
Be.
If they want to be competitive this coming season, like it's relatively.
This has to be the move before the move, is all I'm saying.
I thought D'Anthony Melton was also the move before the move. Maybe that was the move before the move before the move.
Well, and I think that was the move that they saw that they could make, and they had to make it because they had the mid-level. And he, I think, as a mid-level player, I think that's a good signing.
I'll just say D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, you're going to be much better defensively next year than you were this past year.
100%.
You're going to be better. And here comes the if. This is the guru conversation, the guru argument. And if Draymond stays out of trouble and plays like 60-plus games this coming season, maybe 65-plus games this coming season, this is going to be a much better defensive team. And I know we're talking about some of the offensive issues and the shortcomings, and I agree with you guys 100%. I think this team needs more shooting. They need a stretch big. Lauri Markkanen fits that bill perfectly, and I'd be willing to move off of some of your young pieces to do that. But bottom line, Dibs, you add in D'Anthony Melton, you add in Kyle Anderson, you pair that with Pajemski, who I think doesn't get enough credit defensively, you take away Chris Paul, you take away Klay Thompson, we know about their defensive deficiencies. I think this team has the backbone to be a much better defensive team, but there is a major question on the offensive side, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the move is being praised online. I'm looking at right now, most people are looking at it as positive. And like I said, I like Kyle Anderson as a player, just from an individual standpoint. I think he's a good player, always has. New York City kid, went out west to L.A. I've been following him for a while. I just try to think of it offensively, and I know he's going to be a backup. I know that. But ideally, you want to have someone who you can stagger with Draymond every now and then. And I just think when you stagger a Kyle Anderson with a Draymond Green offensively, things get really weird. That's just my initial take on it.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I just look at the roster and I think about, you know, what this team has always been predicated on, and that's been three-point shooting. And I look across the roster, and I don't see the three-point shooting being in place. I mean, Klay's gone, and Draymond, in the first quarter, he's a knockdown shooter. But beyond that, Podziemski had a good rookie year. He shot it at 38.5%. Can he get a little bit better? Sure, he can. Kuminga, not a great three-point shooter. Moody, 36%. He struggled. TJD can't shoot. Kevon can't shoot. GP2 can't shoot. So what are we going to do offensively here? And I know defensively you're going to be better, but offensively, how are you going to get a bucket when Steph Curry is not on the floor? All we've talked about is the non-Steph minutes. So the non-Steph minutes, it's going to be Kuminga going to the hole and, you know, Kuminga creating on his own. I like that. But what else do you have?
It's a good question. It's a fair question.
Scary. I think it's
one of the biggest ones facing the Warriors right now. Let's go out to the phone lines here and get some of your guys' opinions. The Warriors have signed former Minnesota Timberwolf wing / power forward Kyle Anderson, slow-mo, to a 3-year 27.
Stop calling him that.
That's his nickname.
I know, but it's driving home the point even more. You signed a guy whose nickname is slow-mo. And I know it's his nickname.
That's just his unique playing style, but it's been effective for him. It's worked for him. He's a good player.
Luka Doncic plays in slow motion, and Nikola Jokic plays in slow motion, but those guys are among the two of the five best players in the league. This guy's not.
Yeah, but that's not the argument, though, Diz.
I know that the argument's the branding. We're trying to, hey, don't miss the Golden State Warriors in slow motion this year.
We'll put Fitz up to that. Come up with a better nickname for Kyle Anderson, okay?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say
Fitz
he likes
will
the
come
player.
Up with something.
He likes the player. He likes the, acquisition.
I'm sure he does. What about you? Kyle Anderson,
God.
3 years, $27 million to join the Golden State Warriors, 888-957-9570. Javi, Vacaville is up next. What's up, Javi? You're on Willard and Dibs.
Yo, Javi.
How you doing, Mr. Dibley? And my two co-hosts for the day. I have a quick question for the guests as well as Mr. Dibley. I don't know what the Warriors are doing, and it's sad to see because you look at, obviously, the PG trade was negated. They didn't want to take what the Warriors had offered with CP3, Wiggins, etc. And everyone says, why would you even consider this? You're telling me you're talking about offensive firepower. Granted, Kyle Anderson will be a reserve. But with Steph, Pod, Wiggins, Kuminga, Dre, and then on the bench you have GP2, you're going to have Moses Moody, you'll have Trayce Jackson-Davis, then you'll have Kyle Anderson, and your back of three, you'll find a way to make it work with whoever left is on the roster currently. But I just not understand, for the life of me, Andrew Wiggins, if you still have him there as your backup three on the bench. But why would they not go and pursue the likes of, they said, Zach LaVine would not be somebody they're interested in. You could probably, I'm more than certain, actually could get the DeRozan along with that in a sign and trade. That alone with the LaVine and DeRozan fits a timeline of Steph, and you have a replacement for Klay Thompson's shooting vacancy. You fill the void of some veteran leadership and somebody who wants to win. And DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, who needs something to do to prove that he's still worthy of where he's at. I know the money's atrocious. I said, okay, then with the team they have now, like I just said, Steph, Pods, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond, along with GP2, Moody, Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and Kevon Looney TJD, how many wins is that team going to attest to? 35, 40? Steph Curry's going to score 55 points a game, and then you're going to do what when he has to get a blow on the bench? I'm just befuddled of what Dunleavy's done. I don't know what he's doing. Kyle Anderson's not worth $9 million a year. He averaged 6 points a game last year.
He was making that the last handful of years, Javi, and I appreciate your call, and I think there's a lot of Warrior fans that feel the same way in terms of the overall direction of the offseason, I would say, and it might not be the easiest thing – right now, it is a little bit of patience because big moves tend to take a little bit of time. And as far as it goes for Zach LaVine, I think it's the third year that is really the holdup here. If he was just on the Steph Curry, you know, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr timeline, it was just 2 years of bad money, maybe they consider it. But that last year being $49 million after Steph Curry, I don't know about that one. We can talk more about
trades
that.
Trades are hard, yet he's made two, by the way.
Technically, you're right. Yeah. Two signing trades. One to get rid of Clay.
That's what I do, Jason.
And one to acquire.
Mean-spirited radio.
One to acquire slow-mo. Slow-mo Kyle Anderson.
Oh, God, stop right. it.
Time for a break. When we come back, we got Doc Pandya on the other side for Cleared to Play. We'll talk about a number of injuries to new Warrior players, to Warrior players, to all of that. It's coming up on the other side. We are sponsored by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromise. More Willard and Dibs with Dumas and Grandy and Dibs coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.